Welcome to the 123rd episode of the No Nonsense Trivia Podcast. I am one half of your hosts, Mark Davis, and I'm here with Lee Bretschneider. How are you, Lee?
Doing well, Mark. Thanks for asking. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, and I wish this could be a surprise. Well, it was supposed to be a surprise on many fronts, and it has been a surprise on many fronts. But I'm guessing if you've already seen the title or read the description, that you know that we have one old guest and one new guest. We have Rumpelsnailedskin Mike C. How are you, Mike?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Doing very well. Thank you for asking. And we are also here with an old good friend of Mike's and mine, Patrick Norris. How are you, Patrick?
Hey, I'm doing really good. How are you guys?
Doing very well.
Doing well as well.
Yes, all of us are doing good. It's taken us a little bit of time, roughly about 45 minutes to get this set up, but good things come to those who wait.
We're here. Indeed.
And Lee, I guess I feel like you should take it from here, maybe.
Yeah, the three of you guys are old bandmates from the Anchorite 4. I think we've probably talked about this on Mike's episodes before. So you guys had two full-length albums and then an EP. Is the third one an EP?
Yeah.
It's an EP. And last time we had Mike on, I think we were putting up some of the albums. And we're just announcing today that the corrected version of Remove the Chassis will be available now on streaming and online purchase as well. Mm. So that's pretty cool. That's your album from 2004, right?
2004? So long ago. Mike would know if any of us.
Or maybe it was 2003. One of those years.
That feels like so long ago.
Yeah, it really does.
It was. It literally was a long time ago now.
Yes.
But hey, you know what? The people want it, and we got it up with the correct cover art. So definitely go check that out. If you like good indie rock from the early 2000s, it's going to fit right in to that genre. And I think it holds up pretty well these days, especially compared to some of the other music that was coming out at the time, the Limp Bizkits, the Korns, and the whatnots.
I'm glad we still hold up against Fred Durst and Company.
What's that, Mark?
I said I'm glad we still hold up against Fred Durst and Company.
Yeah, it was a tough fight for a little bit, but you know, you guys came out on top for sure.
They were always threatening to break stuff.
It was an angry time.
Yeah.
And we're so pleased that you guys could join us here for this No Nonsense Trivia Podcast episode. So thank you for joining us there on such a strange day, too. We just learned earlier, Alex Trebek, we lost the great Alex Trebek. May he rest in peace.
Yes. Very big bummer. In the interest of full disclosure, we were supposed to record last night, but things were just not working out, and we ended up recording. We're recording on a Sunday, giving Lee that last second editing juice. And because of that, we learned both who our president for the next 4 years is going to be, which I think is more in line with the good news for all four of us. And then today finding out that, we lost Alex Trebek, which was a shock for me. The way I had understood it, that he was doing well, that is, you know, that is, chemotherapy or what have you was going well. And, kind of blindsided.
I think he had, you know, probably a positive mental attitude about it, like you need to in those kinds of situations.
But someone did repost the guy on Final Jeopardy who did know the last answer, so he wrote "We love you, Alex" as his answer that got him all choked up, and it was like, man.
Yeah, it's hard for the trivia community. A lot of people looked up to Alex Trebek. I certainly did as a quiz master. I'm sure you did, Mark.
Oh yeah,
and he was the entrance for a lot of people, you know, getting interested in trivia, being on Jeopardy every night for 30 plus years. I think 1984 is when he took over from.
That sounds right.
Remember the last host's name?
Yeah, I mean he's become
whoever
so
was hosting
synonymous.
Jeopardy before that.
Yeah, but huge loss. Patrick, how do you feel about trivia?
I'm not really sure, you know. I enjoy this podcast.
Okay.
Trivia, you know, I don't know too much of it.
All right, well, you're a smart boy.
Yeah, I mean, I know you guys know a lot, so you know, I'm just happy to, you know, just be a part of this whole trivia world.
That is the beauty of being part of a team, is you can just, you know, push all the responsibility onto your teammates.
Exactly.
Crack wise like I do.
Indeed.
Yeah.
And for all of Lee's questions, the three of us will be able to once again form together in some fashion to mumble over each other and argue and debate and try and figure out which one of us thinks we have the right answer.
Well, can I give you guys... Oh, sorry. Go ahead, Pat.
No, it's okay. You go ahead now.
Can I go ahead and give you guys categories for the quiz that I got lined up for you?
Please, yeah. Why don't you?
First, international trade. I know you guys are savvy about that. International trade. Then computer programming. And then the second round, I'll be asking a question about novelty toys and 60s rock music. And then for my final question, I'll be asking you about state mottos.
Lee, this might be the day.
Really?
I have a question about international trade also.
No way.
I swear to fucking God.
Interesting. We'll see if we have a twin question.
Yeah. Holy shit. This would be amazing if here with two of my best friends, three of my best friends.
Thank you.
We ended up having the same question. I have a question about international trade. I have a question about Cirque du Soleil. I have a question about how to scales. Remember, I asked a question about scales before. And I was like trying to decide how to define it, but you know,
right?
Scaling.
Metrics.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. I have like a question. Like a hurricane strength scale. You mean?
Like that kind of thing.
Something
yeah.
like that. Yeah.
I have a question about dicks, and I have a question about poetry for Patrick.
Oh boy.
No pressure.
Now, when you say dicks, you mean penises or like Dick Clark?
Oh,
like
penises. Those kind,
Richards.
Peni.
Okay. Peni. Got it. Mike.
Woof. I have a question about international trade. No, I'm just kidding. I have a question about the Supreme Court. I have a question about you're going to get to choose either urban problems or death tolls. And then I have a question about homelessness.
Hell yeah.
Okay.
And Peanut, what do you got?
I got a question about the exciting world of shortwave radio.
Hell yeah.
I have a question about something that happened in the art world in April of 1917. And then I have a third question, just about music, just about a band.
Cool.
Just about a little old band, little something you like to call music.
Yeah. The rock and roll. The Fred Durst.
The West Borlands.
Right. Before we get to those questions, though, how about we go over our weekly wrap-up, Mark?
That sounds good to me.
All right. On Monday, the Little Powder Puff Monsters took on Gross Furry Dog Balls. But we're only able to capture the second round. Gross Furry Dog Balls took the victory, overall victory, with 72 points. Shout out to our biggest learners, Creative Juices Are Flowing, who have picked this week's final category at the Palace. We'll get to that in a moment. On Wednesday, we had our debut trivia night at Pointy Bell Brewing Company. We had 35 teams in attendance. No, actually, just 3 to 5 is what I meant to say. 3 to 5 teams. House Snow won with 58 points. It was great to see House Snow out and about. Papa T and Jordan were in second place with 34 points, and Forby in third place with 25 points. Our biggest learners were the Craniotomies, who have selected our final wager category for this week's quiz. Mark, how did your trivia go at Nice Guys Pizza on Wednesday evening?
You're going to have to edit this because I'm making all of my text black again because...
You're in yolk mode again?
I'm in yolk mode. I know. This fucking phone.
Yolk mode, Patrick, is when it's a yellow background with white colored text on top. So it's very hard to read. And for some reason, Mark's phone is prone to yolk mode.
I've never even heard of that.
We just made up yolk mode.
We made
up.
Oh, okay.
The colors.
Right. I was like, why is your phone doing that, Mark?
Because my life is just a comedy of errors. Trivia on Wednesday went well. It was a slow one. It was a very, very strange night. We had a couple teams. So we started out with two or three teams. Then for the second round, there was one team. For the third round, three or four other teams joined. So I don't know what the hell's going on with
big
that.
Big rush.
Yeah, it was very, very strange. A bunch of people came up last second and said, you know, hey, we want to play.
I hate that.
The winner of the first round.
You're not going to
win. Well, here's the thing. They almost did. So the first round went to a team called the Lonely Hearts Club. The second round went to them. They were the only team playing locally at that point with 13 points. They only had 13 points. So someone coming into the third round, if they wagered 20 and boffed, then some other team could win. So I may be late, but so is my period. Marissa, who is one of our listeners and a very, very old and dear friend of mine. I poop on the
maybe
clock.
Maybe congratulations to her?
I poop on the clock for Karl Marx. And there was another team. I can't remember what their name was. But they all played the third round. Lonely Hearts Club won by 1 point with 4 points. They wagered 13 on the last question. And if they wagered any more, they would have tied or lost. I poop on the clock for Karl Marx had 3 points, getting the last question wrong. But the Zoom people, usual suspect, ended with 55. Proverbial Lakekeeper Matt, 57. Whiskey Tango, of course, killing it with 74. But it's actually Elise, ye old dumb slut, with 76 points in the final round. So she definitely killed it. Ian went in the first round with 18 points on Zoom, and the second round going to Whiskey Tango. So
word. Yeah. Nice scores there.
Hmm.
On Thursday, we were back on Twitch. Quiz 89 went to Whiskey Tango with 102,431 points. Whiskey Tango locking in their fifth overall victory on our Twitch quizzes, joining the Five Timers Club with Proverbial Lightkeeper Matt and Rumpelsnailskin Kenya. Molly B. Twitching and Kayana getting second and third place in that quiz. For quiz 90, it was Valkia who came out on top with 83,204 points, besting 29 other players. No joke that time. H-Bomb and Friends and Baha Men tribute band Alex coming in second and third place. Our audio round was a Name the Original Artist based on the cover song, which saw Proverbial Lightkeeper Matt taking the victory. In the chat, he said, "Finally, all that useless knowledge pays off." To that, I say, that's what we're here for, buddy. Mm. Matt winning with 161,009 points, almost doubling the score of our second and third place knowers, Pandarar and Tiffany Moko. If you want to play No Nonsense Trivia this week, you have a few opportunities to do so. Tonight, Monday, November 9th, we'll be back at the Palace Pub and Wine Bar for live trivia, asking trivia questions about football, one-hit wonders, Netflix shows, famous founders, 2000s video games, 2010s music, and more. Join us at 7:30 p.m. to play trivia and have a chance to win some free bottles of wine at Palace Pub and Wine Bar. And this Wednesday, November 11th, we're back at Point of Bell Brewing Company in Fort Myers, Florida. Categories for our newest weekly live quiz will include movies of the 1970s, retro video games, boy bands, business, Disney, world history, and more. We'll get started at 7:30 p.m. yet again, and you can find more details about that in the show notes. And if you're in the Cape, you can play Mark's Trivia on Wednesdays at Nice Guys Pizza in Cape Coral. That starts at 8 o'clock.
Mm.
And of course, you can play No Nonsense Trivia on Twitch at a regularly scheduled time of Thursday at 8 p.m. I'll be asking questions about Chicago the city, Chicago the band, Chicago the musical, Chicago the pizza, and Chicago the hot dog. We'll also be asking non-Chicago-related questions as well about mythology, The Office, presidential history, Star Trek, pro wrestling, and more.
Chicago the pro wrestling.
What's that?
Chicago the pro wrestling.
Chicago the pro wrestling. I'm sure they've got a wrestling organization up there. And we'll also be doing a Slow Jams audio round.
Is it twitch.tv?
Yes, he does.
Oh, yeah, he bought NWA. That's right. Good trivia there. William Patrick Corgan, you mean?
Yes, please.
Don't, yeah.
Please respect
don't
him.
Don't insult him by calling him Billy. Visit twitch.tv/no-nonsense-trivia.
I'll have you know my mom called me Billy.
And make sure you follow us on Twitch and social media to stay updated on all of our podcasts, streams, and events. Join us. Won't you?
Patrick came in just a little bit late, but that's okay, even though he was the singer.
Wonderful. We'll put it. We'll edit it so he comes in first.
Ooh, we'll get him on a separate track.
All right, let's take a little break, and then we'll be right back to kick off round one with some trivia.
Uh,
All right, as promised, Mark, the moment of truth. Let's see if we have matching international trade questions.
I feel so nervous. I don't
What century does yours take place in?
What's that?
What century does yours take place in?
Oh, it's modern.
Oh, mine is historical international trade.
Ah, okay. Well,
so, no need to worry.
I'll tell you, the first two words in my question are international trade. So when you said those words, okay. My heart skipped like five beats. I'm not super happy with how I worded this question, but I can explain it if need be. International trade lawyers for what company found a provision in a book of federal tariff classifications and argued that their client sold toys, not dolls, as a, quote, doll can only represent a human being, effectively cutting their import taxes in half?
Hmm. Sorry, one more time.
One more time? Yeah, no problem. If you don't mind. I figured. I know it's kind of long. Yeah. International trade lawyers for what company found a provision in a book of federal tariff classifications and argued that their client sold toys, not dolls, as a doll can only, quote, represent a human being, effectively cutting their import taxes in half? So they basically found this thing saying that dolls would be shipped at a much lower or a much higher tax rate than toys. That and so they decided to make an argument that their client sold toys, not dolls, and that the that, you know, that these things were not human.
Mm-hmm.
This is very similar to a question you guys had on the podcast recently about shoes, isn't it?
It was a question that I asked not on the podcast, but on my trivia on Wednesday.
Got it.
And that is from the same area that I got this from. Yes. Mm. Very astute, Michael.
If I can ask, what are the dolls made out of? Like,
I can't. I mean, plastic.
Okay, plastic. Okay.
So it seems like they're coming dolls, from they maybe a non-US country in origin. Like maybe Japan or something. Just for example, like Pokemon dolls, you know, or something like that.
Oh.
I don't think that's what it is, but something where it's got maybe a global presence, global recognition, but this is just, you know, they had to find this workaround. And the non-human thing is interesting too.
Yeah.
When he said federal tariff, it made me think US, but that might not necessarily be right.
Right, but maybe it's like a export tariff, like from another country to import into the U.S.
Right, I guess that's true.
You know what I mean? Like their lawyers are saying to the U.S. like these are not dolls; these are toys. That's how I interpreted it. But maybe.
And this was in 2003. This effectively halved their tariff rate from 12% to 6.8%.
I know the answer. Anchorite 4 CDs.
They're not human.
These are toys, not dolls.
At this point, they're effectively coasters. Yes.
Yeah. I mean, I'm a little ashamed that I don't know the answer to this because I was reading my book 2 days ago about tariff exports and dolls.
Oh, man.
From, from 2000 to 2005, but it's just not ringing a bell right now.
Could it be something crazy like Barbies, like Mattel? Like they're saying Barbies mm-hmm. don't even look like human beings because they're so.
Oh, that's a good angle.
Could it be tricky like that?
I don't know. I like that angle, though.
Kurt angle.
It's the only angle I got.
It's a good angle.
Like they've been so deformed from the human shape that they no longer. It's like a McDonald's hamburger. You know, it only has to be 60% beef.
Mike, if there's one thing I'm certain of, it's that everyone loves your angle.
Is that a song lyric?
It is now.
Okay.
Angle is the color of your energy.
Was this
new Anchorite 4 album, Everyone Loves Your Angle?
I don't even know what toys were even big in 2003 to even...
Pogs. Is there any...
No, Pogs were earlier. So 2003, I was just graduating high school.
Boggs.
Return of the King. Hitting Jax. Theaters.
Mike is caught in a wormhole.
Just saying different...
Jax.
He's going backwards in time.
Hula hoop.
Jax.
Things that are like completely non-human in any way whatsoever.
Yes.
Like things that Mark would not Twain's need to be argued game. At all. Stick.
Yeah, 2003.
I think Pokemon is a pretty good guess, but did they make a lot of figurines? Weren't they mostly just...
Yeah, that's, yeah, they, that's no, the like, thing that...
I feel like they had a ton of figurines. Like they had a I feel like they had a pretty good they had everything.
What about Tamagotchi? That's way earlier than that, isn't it?
Yeah, I think, is that I think that's like 5 or 6 years earlier.
It's not a doll at all, yeah.
wait. Mark, I'm sorry, can you hear the question one more time?
International trade lawyers for what company found a provision in a book of federal tariff classifications and argued that their client sold toys, not dolls, as a, quote, doll can only represent a human being, effectively cutting their import taxes in half?
I was thinking it's going to be like a sex toy manufacturer, but that's really dark. That's the case.
Yeah.
These aren't even human.
It's a dick. Oh, we like blow up dolls. Oh, interesting.
Yeah, that's kind of a real doll. I was thinking that. I know that was, I don't know when those came out, but it feels like about 20 years ago. 20, 25 years ago.
Yeah, it seems like we're looking for a toy manufacturer. So should we pick one of the few toy manufacturers that we know, like Mattel or Hasbro or...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I guess, yeah, so it wouldn't be Barbie. It would be Mattel would be our answer. All right. Yeah, I'm cool with that. You guys want to go Mattel, Barbie?
Yeah.
Mattel is our answer.
I'm sorry, that's incorrect. Great guess. The correct answer is Marvel.
Oh, okay.
Marvel. So they made the argument that X-Men were not human, which is pretty funny with the whole fight of X-Men being basically that, you know, they are human enough, and you know the whole argument of the movies and the comic books throughout the years. They argued that they are mutants and that they are not human. Things like Beast and even people like Gambit fall more into toys and less into dolls.
Interesting.
That
is an interesting distinction to have legally made toys and dolls. And the fact that they're taxed at different rates is also, I don't know if that's interesting or strange.
So, Mike, referenced it a little bit, but I had asked a question about, the slipper tax and the fact that, Chuck Taylor All-Stars, if you buy them new, you will notice that there's a little bit of fuzz on the bottom of them. And the reason they do that is so they can get by calling them slippers instead of sneakers.
And that's what that fucking fuzz is?
Yes. And that's, and it was basically a workaround they found. They are taxed, I think, like, you know, a ridiculous percent less because they are considered slippers as opposed to sneakers. So wow. In 2003, the decision in the United States Court of International Trade determined that for purposes of tariffs, toy biz's action figures were toys, not dolls, because they represented non-human creatures.
Okay.
It's wild.
Yeah.
So that was Marvel, and I think they got bought by Hasbro, didn't they? Or Hasbro had the license for Marvel toys? I don't know.
Marvel Entertainment was the it was actually Toy Biz Inc. versus United States, but it was all based around Marvel Entertainment.
United States, you're about to feel the legal wrath of Toy Biz Inc.
Indeed, the X-Men swoop all right. in and start blowing stuff up.
My international trade question
okay.
for you. What Yemeni port city was the center of the coffee trade from the 15th to 18th century? So hold on.
Okay.
I shared this question with Kyle Ann, and I said, this is one of those questions where the first half you go, how the fuck am I going to know this? But there's a hint coming.
Okay.
What Yemeni port city was the center of the coffee trade from the 15th to 18th century? And shares its name with a coffee bean known for its chocolate flavor.
Well, Patrick, you were the barista.
That is true, but I don't think I developed quite this in-depth
You didn't study the coffee trade from the 15th to 18th century?
I think I actually missed that day at Starbucks when we were doing that.
You read the book about international trade tariffs, 2005. You missed my question. Missed the day that you learned about chocolate tasting beans at Starbucks. What are you good for?
There's a trend, now, you know. Mark. There's a trend here.
I'm
trying to think of coffee beans.
I don't see you guessing anything, Mark.
Well, I don't drink coffee.
So that
Patrick
means you know nothing
lives
about
off
it.
Of it.
Wait, so when you roast the bean, then you drink it, then it has a natural natural chocolate flavor after you yes. roast it and then you drink it.
Yes.
Okay.
Is it the bean that the cat shits out?
That's named after this.
That's from South America.
Oh, okay. You've never heard of this, Patrick?
No.
This animal in South America eats this coffee bean, and it ferments in its stomach. And they shit it out, and it's like the most expensive coffee in the world.
Huh.
Civet cat coffee, I think is what you're talking about, Mark.
Yeah, Civet. That sounds right. Mike, are you a coffee guy?
I used to drink coffee. Yeah,
oh, yeah,
I was, like,
hopelessly
addicted.
You cut the ties on caffeine.
Yeah.
You had like a 3-week long headache.
That's right. It was terrible.
I
think there's an African coffee called Yirgacheffe, but I have no idea how you spell it, and I don't know that it's in Yemen.
Okay.
Ethiopia.
I mean, like, all that's coming into my head, and I know it's not right, is Tanzanian pea berry, which I don't even know if even that even tastes like chocolate. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yemen. Is Yemen in Africa?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, see? Here's what I know. Yeah, man. Yemen. How silly. Dudes, I don't know.
I don't know.
That guess that Mike had was a good one, that Yirgacheffe.
Yeah. I like Mike's angle on this one as well.
Mike. Well, it might be a little bit closer.
No,
this time.
Is a good angle. This one, no. No.
Oh, okay. Well, it's a rare hint from Lee. Yeah.
I don't even remember what Mike said. Yirgacheffe? Yirgacheffe?
Well, do we know any cities in Yemen? Can we take that angle?
Not if you're relying on me.
I'm going to give you guys
I just got done
one
telling
more
you,
hint.
I don't know that Yemen is in Africa. So
this is also the name of a type of latte as well.
Patrick, come the fuck
oh,
on,
God.
Dude.
There's
Jesus
so many
Christ.
Different types of...
It's pumpkin spice. Come on.
there's like
luxurious pumpkin spice Yemen.
There's like a flat white, an Americano. A latte is just steam milk and coffee. So even thinking about a latte that I could drink that would naturally taste like chocolate from the roasted bean.
Am I allowed to go on my Starbucks app?
You know the answer is no.
Ooh, could it be
I have
venti?
No idea. Sumatra something?
Sumatra is in Indonesia. That I do know. And I know that because... I work at a certain cinnamon roll bakery that uses brown sugar makara from Sumatra in Indonesia.
That's fancy.
And I will tell you, now I'm smelling like Indonesia, bus stop full of fly bitches and skeezers.
What?
It's a lyric.
Mark just quotes that lyric
every time
he brings up
Indonesia
on the
gets
show.
Brought up, I have to say that.
Yeah, I thought we were just going to sit in it.
Yeah, me too.
Yes, Hollywood handbook style.
Oh, boy.
Shh, don't.
Guys, I have no idea. I can't even think
of
it. Yeah,
I don't either. I'm going to order a latte. Let me get a Yemenese... I have a feeling it starts with a
matcha.
B.
You can get...
Yeah, let's go with matcha. We're going to say matcha.
Oh my gosh, you guys are only just a couple letters off.
Yerba mate?
Mocha. Mocha.
Mocha
is the answer.
Why
yes.
did that not fucking occur to me?
Mocha. Mocha Yemen. Matcha. So close. That's the green tea flavor.
I never would
have
thought of that. Wow.
Yeah, me either.
Yeah, it's a tea thing.
And you know what's funny? At said cinnamon roll place that I work at, we have a drink called the Mocha Latte Chill, which is a chocolatey drink with a coffee kick. Mm-hmm. Hi, I'm embarrassed.
Yep. It's all right. Plenty more questions coming.
Yeah. Patrick.
This question is about music.
Okay.
Yes.
All right, here we go. This band started in 1976 near Greater Manchester, England. They have 48 live albums, 31 studio albums, and 48 compilation albums. Their peers were Joy Division, The Smiths, and The Buzzcocks. The singer of this band was the only constant member until his death on January 24th, 2018. What band is this? I can also say it again because it's kind of a long question.
Yeah, please. One more time.
Yeah, we're going to need that one more time.
Sure, yeah. This band started in 1976 near Greater Manchester, England. They have 48 live albums, 31 studio albums, and 48 compilation albums. Their peers were Joy Division, The Smiths, and The Buzzcocks. The singer of this band was the only constant member until his death on January 24th, 2018.
I'm going to throw out a band. I'm not sure if they're English, but they might fit the bill. I feel like this guy might have died in 2018. I can't remember his name, but the band might be The Fall.
You got it.
Oh.
Woo! Okay.
Wow.
Lee, I was about to agree with you for whatever that's worth.
Okay. Good. Patrick, I think you just wrote that question really well, basically. It was like all the information that I needed.
Yeah, there we go.
So that's good. Yeah. I think that question is kind of hard, probably, but I don't know. I just happen to like the bands that Patrick mentioned, and I was like, what else fits in with them? I was also thinking it could be Wire, but I don't think they had that many albums.
If I had a moment to have guessed at all, I probably would have guessed XTC. That would have been one of my guesses.
That kind
of
ran through my mind, too.
But yeah. Yeah.
That was a good one.
Mike.
Thanks.
This is much more straightforward. Supreme Court. There have been as few as 5 Supreme Court justices. What is the greatest number of Supreme Court justices there have ever been in the United States?
What if they answer something crazy like 8?
How nuts is that?
That'd be a tricky question.
I remember hearing an episode of More Perfect about the history of Supreme Court justices. It was pretty illuminating on like how originally they didn't really have any power, and it talked about how they came into power and how they were given more prominence, of which I will not go into now, but I'm trying to remember. I kind of want to say, it may be some ridiculous number, but I kind of want to say 12.
Yeah. Would it be even? Would they have gone even odd, or do you think they would have originally? That was my, so I have no idea. Let me just say that. But I was thinking maybe like 13.
I'd be willing to budge and go with 13. Patrick, what do you think? What do you know about the Supreme Court?
The Vermin Supreme Court.
Not enough to answer this question.
Okay.
13 is a lot.
It is.
Yeah.
Would they have more? I mean, more would be insane. Like 20 Supreme Court justices.
I mean, it might be a high number like that.
Can you like read the question one more time, Mike? Do you mind?
There have been as few as 5 Supreme Court justices.
You don't have to ask, Patrick. You tell them
number of Supreme Court justices there have ever been in the U.S.
You say, read that question again. Excuse me.
Sorry, Mike. You mean at one time, right?
Yes.
Not total?
Yes.
Okay.
One time. Good clarification.
Two time.
I don't know.
Let's go with 13.
Yeah,
I like the way Lee's voice sounds. Like, he sounds confident and cautiously optimistic. Well, then I'm definitely wrong.
I have talked people out of correct answers before, for sure.
No, you?
I try not to, though. But I just feel like we were both, Mark and I were thinking this similar, around similar number. I just feel like they would have gone odd. They would have known right away, like, even is going to get us into trouble if we have a split vote.
All right, let's do it. Let's go with 13.
Sorry, that is wrong. The answer is 10.
Okay, an even number.
Yeah.
I guess that was the problem.
Yeah, it does seem like a strange number. But it fluctuated for about 80 years between 5 and 10, somewhere in that range. And then it set down to 9, in 1869, I believe. So I think it's been basically 9 since that time, except there have been a couple presidents that have threatened to add to it.
Jesus. Okay.
Huh. We'll see. Maybe we'll have another one threatening to add to it.
Yeah, exactly. We'll see how timely it is when this comes out.
All right, here's your second question from me. In what country was Cirque du Soleil founded?
I guess would be France.
Yeah, right? I was going to say France.
Based on the French name.
But that's the trick. That's where he wants to get you. He wants to lead you into those Frenchy waters.
He loves that shit. Doesn't he, Mike?
Somewhere in like Russia or Eastern Europe where there's a lot of acrobatics.
I feel like the early posters for that do have a lot of like Cold War art to them. Has a Cold War vibe.
Sickles and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Is it possible it's Canada or the United States?
Well, Canada is a really good guess. I like that.
There are lots of French speakers in Quebec. Montreal. Baton Rouge. Maybe it's a Louisiana thing.
I actually
Lafayette.
What do you guys
think? All these sound good.
I feel like it could be a US thing. I don't know. Maybe that's the trick. It's like right under our noses.
Yeah.
They definitely have it in Vegas.
I mean, all I started? Know. Yeah, well, no. I mean, I know it's out there quite a bit. I just don't trust Mark's. I feel like he's trying to lead us to the wrong place.
Wow, Patrick. Wow.
Mm-hmm. I agree. And I think, I think France might be that place. Do you think U.S. is believable? It's too believable to be true? Too believable.
Something about it coming from the U.S. for some reason feels not right to me. Although it could be completely right, but...
I remember reading The Lord of the Dance is like a Canadian production. Or no, it's American. He's from Detroit. Michael Flatley. Flatterly? Flattingly? Whatever his name is.
I think it's Michael Flatley.
Flatley, yeah. He's
Seth knows.
I always thought he was Irish, and it was an Irish show, but he's from Detroit.
Well, I know it's not an offshoot of the Grand Ole Opry.
Mm-hmm.
I know that.
That's true. I mean, I don't know that for sure, but that would be shocking.
Yeah,
don't shock me to the core.
Yeah.
We're done with the Opry. Stick around for Cirque du Soleil.
Canada? What do you think, Lee? Do you
feel good about Canada? About Canada. Yeah.
I don't
have the French connection. Hashtag non-ad.
Yeah, I mean, if you guys want to roll with that. I feel like that's not it, but I don't,
could have had
I don't
a bad
know
bitch,
what else it is.
Non-committal.
I'm good with Canada.
Is Canada what you're going with?
Yes.
Patrick
has pulled us back.
Patrick's just like...
No, I just saw Mark's face in that moment, and his eyes told us we were wrong.
Yeah.
But we should just go with it.
He's good like that, too, though. Sometimes he goes, you are correct.
You are correct. Canada.
Is that right?
Canada is correct.
Hey!
Oh, man.
Quebec.
Oh, gosh.
Aha!
Yes, I almost cost you guys that one.
Yeah, I was really hoping that you'd bring them back.
Wow.
Yeah, Circus of the Sun is a Montreal-based entertainment company and the largest contemporary circus producer in the world.
Yeah.
That is crazy.
Founded in 1984, by the way.
Oh, okay.
I'm sorry, what?
They were founded in 1984, I said.
It's false.
That's I guess that makes sense because it took a while. Like, I remember when I was a kid, like, it showing up. So it probably took a couple years to build up and get down to Florida. You know.
By the way, there are rumors. Wait. Oh,
I'm so sorry. I thought you were saying the fall wasn't founded until 84. I was like, what?
No. The question was ages ago. They're talking about doing a Wedding Crashers 2.
Cirque du Soleil?
No, the fall. They're bringing Marquis Smith.
Is making Wedding Crashers 2 to reduce tariffs?
Wait, okay, let me make sure I understand this. Vince Vaughn and Owen Wilson are going to do Cirque du Soleil and their international trade lawyers? And they're both doing, and the fall is doing the soundtrack.
Oh my gosh, that would be amazing.
All right, Lee, why don't you give us our last question? I hope
Gene Seymour's in it
again. Please, yeah.
Computer programming.
Kitty cat.
What programming language developed in 1995 is used on 95% of all web pages and is used mainly to perform client-side behaviors? What programming language developed in 1995 is used on 95% of all web pages and is used mainly to perform client-side behaviors?
Mike, you nerd.
I got a guess. JavaScript? That is inscrutable.
I think Mark needs to go outside.
I've been dragging my ass across the carpet for 3 hours.
Gave him all that JavaScript.
It's coming out of my ass.
It's the only JavaScript joke I think I've heard my entire life.
Java, and we talked about coffee earlier. All this stuff is coming together.
I just know that that's what JavaScript is used for, to do stuff on the client side, like to query a database or to like link two things together. It's not really on the visitor side. It's on the server side.
Yeah. Oh, where's Mike
Someone's
Mitchell?
Listening to this that actually knows what they're talking about and is getting
so mad.
Super.
Ooh, shut up. I'm trying to think of...
I like to think that at every moment on the podcast, there's at least one listener doing that with whatever we're talking about.
True.
Some expert out there.
What about... There's CSS. Cascading style sheets.
Well, you know what? It could be. I mean, that's used to like make universal changes to the style of a website. But I think that actually happens on the visitor side. But maybe that is client side. Maybe I'm misunderstanding what that
means. Honestly, you're probably right. You, I know you like did some web stuff. I'd be fine with JavaScript. Patrick, where do you land on this?
I mean, I'm surprised you have to ask, but it's definitely JavaScript.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm embarrassed. We're going to go with JavaScript.
Ding, ding, ding. That's correct.
Yes.
Very good. Yes. Developed in 95 and now on 95% of all web pages. I think I might be the one that's wrong and doesn't know what I'm talking about. But Mike, I think client side is the visitor side.
I realized that after I started talking, and that's why I said someone's cringing right now.
Yeah, so nobody miscorrect us on that. We understand. We get it. Client side is the visitor side, and then server side would be like HTML that happens on the server.
Just want to thank CSS. Patrick for really pushing us through there. It wasn't until I heard that voice of his just and how sure he was and made me feel immediately embarrassed that I even had to wonder.
That was not my intention. I love you.
Well, I love you.
All right, let's take a little break, and then we'll come back with some miscorrections and get into round two.
Sounds good.
All right, we're back, and it's time for some miscorrections.
Miscorrections.
Now, we didn't have to do that one because we have all these great themes that Mike actually has sent in.
Yes, thank you.
Mike, thank you so much for the gift of 4 miscorrections themes for us to cycle through.
You got it. There's only one that's actually any good, but you guys got to figure out which one it is.
Oh, I know. It's the Howard Dean one.
Yeah, that's right.
Is that the Knight Rider theme? Or is that a different one? I like the Knight Rider one.
The Knight Rider
that's a different one.
They're all good.
Okay, yeah. But yeah, thanks. And listeners, if you want to send in a version of the miscorrection theme, of course, you can submit that to us at nononsensetrivia@gmail.com. And we will we'll play it if it's good. It's got to be at least as good as Mike's, though. At least.
Good luck.
Yeah. All right.
Tell me how bad
we have
did.
A few miscorrections here. First of all, Frotus G wrote in to reiterate that fish... Frotus G, by the way, is a describes himself as an honorary proverbial lightkeeper. I don't know if he's a partner of Caitlin. He mentioned Caitlin's been paying your proverbial lights for a while, so he considers himself to be an honorary proverbial lightkeeper, which is fine. I'm fine with that.
Okay.
Frotus G wrote in to reiterate that Fish was deemed the most important band by Rolling Stone, not because of their music, but because of the culture surrounding their live events in the 90s. And also... more importantly, because we did mention that last week, this is a bit new, though. Frotus also noted 5 or 6 episodes ago, Seth was talking about seeing Jackal live in Florida, the chainsaw band. You might remember, listeners.
Yeah.
He says he just pulled up into a parking lot. I, too, pulled up in the parking lot and saw Jackal do the chainsaw song for free, no charge. And I believe they were trying to set a Guinness Book of World Record for most consecutive free concerts. Mm-hmm. So I looked this up. Oh, he says, I remember that from back in the day, and y'all jogged that from my memory. So thank you. You guys rock. Keep it up.
Thanks for helping me remember Jackal. Mm-hmm. You're welcome.
I saw them live during that tour with the chainsaw thing.
You did?
Yeah.
Yeah, I did at the Lee Civic Center.
Oh, okay. I wonder if that was the show that Seth
was talking
about.
Part of history, probably.
Yeah, so according to their Wikipedia page, Jackal has set 2 Guinness World Records. One of them was for playing the most concerts in 50 days. It was previously held by George Thorogood and the Destroyers, who had played 52 shows in 50 days, but Jackal played 100 concerts in 50 days. And if you think that 2 concerts a day is a lot, they also set a record for performing 21 concerts in a 24-hour period. Ugh. That's crazy, right?
There is something... No one is amused. but there is something... Mike almost seems mad about it. There is something about this...
I think it's impressive.
There is something...
I was looking...
There is something about the sentence... Jackal broke 2 Guinness Book of World Records that just like fucking floors me. I don't know why, but it just like really does me in. Like the fact that they're allowed to be in the Guinness Book of World Records for anything. I was hoping you were going to say like the most chainsaws used in a song or something, but.
So you don't like that they have good records? Is that what you're saying? The records are too good for their music or something like that? They're rising above their station?
They just don't deserve to be in the Guinness Book of World Records.
Mark, how fucking wrong are you? Because they have the distinction of the hardest working band in rock and roll. Singer Jesse James Dupree says in the band bio that the most grueling of the 2 records was the 21 shows in 24 hours, which they completed in Texas. And the shows were all done with full lights and sound. The daytime sets were 45 minutes long, whereas the ones done at nighttime were between 90 and 2 hours long. Can you imagine playing multiple 2-hour long shows after playing, I guess, 19 45-minute shows? Seems ridiculous.
Why, though? Like, why were they doing this?
I think to set the record. I think they were just like, they did a lot of cocaine, and they were like, we got to set this record.
Mike, so that's why I was reading Mike correctly. Like, he was just... They're not the hardest working band. Like, that's just schlocky. Like, it would be one thing if they did that all the time. It's just like, they're just trying to like do something to gain notoriety for the fact that they did this. Like they're like, so how long does it gotta be? How far away does it have to, like, we're just gonna do this thing and hopefully it'll like reignite interest in us. But everybody was just like, who is this band that keeps playing a chainsaw? And someone was like, oh, that's Jackal, don't mind them.
Yeah, I did not know the answer to that question at the time. I do remember that. But we hope that Seth, Frodis, and Patrick, hope you enjoyed your Jackal concert as well. We got another miscorrection here from Alex P. He says, Haley and Mark,
Alex
on episode 62, you are discussing Gonzo's love interest, Gonzo from the Muppets, not Hunter S. Thompson. Mark talks about remembering how Gonzo had, quote, such a hard-on and wanted to fuck Camilla in the cochlea. I'm not sure if Gonzo had any interest in having sex with a chicken's ear, which is where the cochlea is located, but I'm pretty sure Mark probably meant the cloaca.
The cloaca.
Love the show. Thanks for the laughs.
I love having stuff that I said forever ago quoted back to me. Like, do you remember saying that Gonzo, quote, had a hard-on for Camilla? It's like, no, I don't remember saying that, but that tracks. That sounds like something I'd say.
Yes. And then from Chloe Dallas K. for episode number 122, Dallas writes, the smallest of miscorrections. Lee, you were originally right when you said that the Heaven's Gate wore Nike Decades, not Reeboks. I will never forget this because I own the same exact pair of shoes. I was in the seventh grade and everyone made it weird at school. And then I wanted to bring up also, I don't think we talked about this last week, the bell from For Whom the Bell Tolls by Metallica is actually an anvil, Mark. We were joking about it, but that is an anvil sound that was sampled. It's not a bell. It is an anvil hit that has been punished with reverb.
Really?
Yes. Isn't that funny?
That is real fucking weird.
We were joking about it, and yeah, the anvil that Metallica used was in For Whom the Bell Tolls. But if you want to hear my recreation of what it would sound like with an anvil with not so much reverb, I have created a track called For Whom the Anvil Tolls. We'll put a link to that in the show notes. It is For Whom the Bell Tolls with the original bell slash anvil removed, and I've reinserted an anvil sound effect to replace the bells, and you can write in and let me know what you think about that. Or if you have a missed correction, or if you have a rate my question, or even just a little no note, just write to us at nononsensetrivia@gmail.com or give us a call at 1-929-356-6966.
I also want to let you know that in Hell's Bells, they do actually use a fucking bell because AC/DC knows what's up. It was a 2,000-pound bronze bell manufactured by John Taylor and Company Bell Founders in some country or some city that I can't pronounce. The sound of the bell was recorded by Tony Platt using Ronnie Lane's mobile studio inside the Bell Foundry following the completion of the Back in Black tracking sessions.
You know, Lars was like, Hey, how about we use an anvil instead of a bell? I'm just sick of carrying around this damn 2,000-pound bell.
It's so stock. Just using a bell is so stock. Oh, God,
you know,
what
he
a
said
disgusting
that.
Human being.
It does right. fit with the type of snare sound that he likes, having an anvil instead of a bell.
Yeah, shitty.
I think there's a comment on the video that says they should have used this for the snare on St. Anger on the anvil video that I made. And I said it's not too far off. All right, novelty toys is my first category for you guys. Novelty toys. In 2003, novelty toy company Archie McPhee began selling an action figure, not a doll, but a toy. No, just kidding. In 2003, novelty toy company Archie McPhee began selling an action figure modeled after Seattle's Nancy Pearl, who is known for her rule of 50 and for holding what job for which the action figure was titled. In 2003, novelty toy company Archie McPhee began selling an action figure modeled after Seattle's Nancy Pearl, known for her rule of 50 and for holding what job for which the action figure was titled.
What's the rule of 50?
No.
No.
Seattle. You said that the toy, the action figure, was based off of a Seattle figure?
So, yes, she modeled for it. Her name is Nancy Pearl, and she is the model for the action figure that is named after her job. What job does Nancy Pearl have?
What job would have?
I believe she's still alive.
The rule of 50. I don't know. What do you guys think that could even...
The rule of 50. Well, I was trying to think of jobs in Seattle. There's the Pike Place Market. We asked a question, or Lee asked a question about that last week. There's Starbucks. What was the lady's name?
Nancy Pearl.
Man. Well... an action figure based off of, I mean, it could be like a fish thrower. I don't fucking have no clue.
Yeah, I have no idea either. Yeah.
I'm thinking of something Seattle. I don't know. I'm guessing it's Seattle centric.
Like a radical bookstore owner.
Gum chewer to put on the gum wall. Man, I don't know. I'm at a loss.
I mean, like, the rule of 50 almost makes it sound like my head just keeps going to some kind of like labor or union or something that might be something related to that, but I don't know.
Just keep trying to think of something that would be like Seattle based. And I can't. Whale watching? I have no fucking clue.
You can only watch 50 whales at a time.
Watching Frasier episodes? Space needle cleaning?
Stuff. Space needle cleaning?
Supersonic.
Yeah, to be a supersonic.
One supersonic.
50 supersonics. Can I hear the question one more time?
Absolutely. In 2003, novelty toy company Archie McPhee began selling an action figure modeled after Seattle's Nancy Pearl, known for her rule of 50 and for holding what job for which the action figure was titled?
Could be. 2 years after the Twin Towers fell. Never forget. I don't know, man. It's a toughie.
Nothing on this one.
Let's say, we'll say fish thrower. Pike Place fish thrower.
Oh. The rule of 50 describes or states that you should read 50 pages of any book before you decide to stop reading it. She was the librarian. The librarian.
Oof.
With push-button shushing action.
That hurts.
Yeah.
Yeah, Mike, the guy who went to... that got his degree. His master's degree.
Doctor. You might recognize her name. She appears at least annually on NPR recommending books. She kind of became known... in the Seattle scene after writing a book, memoirs, and then she started appearing on public radio and giving her book recommendations every year, which then brought her onto the national stage as well.
And then she was in a Nirvana cover band.
Frances Farmer.
About that.
Here's your first question of the second round from me. The five stages of the Tanner scale are used to define what? The five Tanner stages scale. Of the Tanner scale, T-A-N-N-E-R.
Well, it could be talking about tanning. tanning animal skin to different degrees for products.
Mm-hmm. Or the cast or characters on Full House, the tanners. Like, which of how annoying are you based on your relationship to each tanner family member?
The first thing that came to mind for me was denial, anger. What is it? Dagba? The five stages of grief.
Yeah. Is that a scale, though?
Yeah, it's not really a scale, no.
Yeah, it's like a process or a it's a procedure. The Tanner scale. I've not heard of that. I don't know. Do you think it's animal tanning?
I have no idea.
Like quality of furs?
I mean, like, I know, like, you have to, I think you might tan things differently according to, you know, like what you want it, like how you want it to function, but I have no idea if it's related to that.
I just have this feeling it's a name. A lot of the scale questions he's asked are named after scientists and stuff like that. But
if that's the case, then we're just like guessing out of the blue, basically, right?
Yeah.
Yes. How do we narrow that down?
We can't.
If it was your question, you'd have a nice little clue in there.
Wow. Okay.
Rate my questions coming early.
Does this have questions are dry? Is what I'm saying. And dry is good, but it's hard.
Is it?
Yeah.
Doesn't sound good, Mike.
It's like a dry champagne.
I disagree. It's like sand. It's like eating sand.
It just
no hint.
Yeah, it just leaves like every single vague possibility completely wide open.
As you would say, Mark, this is one where you either know it or you don't.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. What do you guys think? Should we go with fur tanning? He wouldn't. I mean, maybe he would. Maybe he would. He's been known to put the answer in the question before.
I'm good with guessing that, just because I don't know what else we can go with.
Tanner scale. The Tanner scale.
Mm-hmm.
This better not be Full House related. Let's go with fur tanning. Fur tanning? Is that what it's called? Fur tanning?
I think it's just furs? Like animal.
Tanning. Animal hides?
Hide tanning.
Hides?
Distribution. Yeah,
pelts and hides. Does that work over an answer?
That'd be a good band name.
Mark, can I hear the question one more time just so we can format the answer properly?
Absolutely.
Good God, this must not even be close. Mark is just like, what the fuck are they doing?
The five stages of the Tanner scale are used to define what?
Fur hide quality? Pelt quality? That's what we're going with? There's no way.
That's not it.
I can tell by his face. I can just see the like his eyes.
You said that before.
It's true, though.
I guess we'll go with pelt quality, then.
Is that what you're going with?
Are we in Skyrim? Is it pelt quality?
Sorry, that's incorrect.
Wrong.
What do we got?
Full House, isn't it?
We're going to get multimedia.
You know what?
Penis size?
You know what? I was almost going to say, does that have anything to do with like Masters and Johnson?
So
there's a chart. Mark has presented us with a chart of different stages.
Here's some actual wieners.
Oh, whoa.
But
it's not just wieners.
No.
I see titties.
Yeah, there's also titties. Here's some titties
for
you.
I see wieners and titties.
Okay, these are female breasts in the five stages of the Tanner scale. It's basically, as it says here at the top, a scale of physical development in children, adolescents, and adults.
Okay.
All right.
So is it like a lifelong thing, like for an individual, or is it a comparison
up
with
until
like
adult?
Yeah, what are we looking at right now?
Yeah, is this like a body mass index of like different body parts?
So this
Okay, so this is like puberty development.
Yes.
It looks like.
Yeah.
Okay. Stages of puberty development.
Yes. So here you see
hair on the vagina. Just showed us dicks at first. I was like, oh, it's dick size.
There's just a little bit of hair here, and then it gets bigger and bigger, of course, unless the woman shaves.
Well, that fucks the Tanner scale all up.
Thank you for pointing that out.
All right. So there you go.
So who's next?
Mike.
Mike is next.
I think you're on a watch list now. All right. You guys get to choose urban problems.
I've been on a watch list.
Death tolls.
Death tolls are what?
Urban problems.
I choose
some fucking downers here to choose
urban. Yeah, this is a dark one, guys.
I choose urban problems. What do you guys think?
Too. I'm cool with that.
All right, urban problems. Urban problems.
Fatberg is a congealed mass of fatty objects that causes huge problems in aging cities. Where would you find a fatberg?
What? One more time, please.
Can you read that one more time? My first thought is it would have to be like a buildup of something, right? Like maybe in pipes or in right. some type of like mm-hmm. sanitation, you
sewers.
Know?
That's what yeah. I was thinking.
Yeah, da, maybe da, like da, a like da, a buildup in like da, a heavy area with a lot of like Fatberg. Restaurants or I don't know.
Right.
DuckTales, woo.
Every day. It could be related to like waste disposal too, though, you know, like maybe something around the city where they all, you know, like just dispose of one kind of substance or, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I have a couple different thoughts here. One is liposuction.
Got a lot of fat hanging around after that.
One is, like grease traps, things like that. Mm-hmm. But it's definitely like an iceberg, so it's probably floating somewhere.
Yeah.
And then getting caught somewhere.
I'm thinking, you know, it's those sewers, they've got like, you know, they've got all these systems set up to catch all the crap that's going through because they don't just want everything. So, you know, there's a lot of areas where there could be buildup, you know, that clogs yeah. it back. And then you've got sewage overflowing into the street. People go, what's going on here? It's Fatberg.
You know, I think yeah. you're right you because know? I'm thinking of people like pour, like they tell you not to pour your like mm-hmm. bacon grease down the drain and stuff.
Right.
All right. Well, I'm fine with sewers.
You want to go with that? Is that your answer?
Yeah.
Yes.
Sewers is correct.
Yes.
Yay. All right. A big problem in Victorian England, like in London and other Victorian cities, their sewers cannot handle all the fat that is congealing in them.
Damn. What happens? Do you know?
Yeah. It congeals into a giant ball and it stops up the sewer so it doesn't mm-hmm. function anymore. So they have to send people down there and take care of the fatbergs.
What do they? Yep. Do you know how they take care? Do they have to eat it all?
They send the incarcerated down, unfortunately.
The thing I read said that wet wipes were a big part of the problem. They just get stuck in these giant balls.
So. Hell yeah.
Yep. Condoms. Don't want to fuck condoms.
Yeah. Ever since Victorian England, just wet wipes clogging up everything.
Patrick.
All right.
You got a question for us?
I do. All right. This one's a long one, so I imagine I'll have to read it back to you. Okay. So this has to do with shortwave radio.
My level of expertise is high here.
Okay. Tune across the shortwave radio bands AM or MW, and chances are you will come across this. There's no programming to speak of, just a mechanically sounding voice, male or female, or a series of voices going on for minutes at end. These are unidentified radio broadcasts, sometimes accompanied by music, tones, or other sound effects. What are these stations called?
I love this question. I have heard this before. Like, I've heard recordings of it.
It's fascinating.
I feel like a band used the name of what they're called as an album title, like Wilco or someone like that. I'm not sure, though.
Oh, they're called Yankee Hotel Foxtrots?
Oh, no, that's what that came from. That Yankee Hotel Foxtrot thing, didn't it? Am I wrong?
Probably. It sounds like a shortwave radio type thing.
YHF? I mean, it sounds like UHF.
Yeah. Shoot.
Shoot is right.
They're called Wilcos.
What was that one movie with Kevin Bacon and the you know what I'm talking about?
No, it was like a time travel movie, but through the radio, right? He was like talking to his son or something.
It was something weird with
the
radio.
His son was talking to his dad through the radio.
Yeah, something like that.
Right? Fireside?
Nope.
No. Bandwidth? I don't.
Are these lyrics? This is a good question. These lyrics to that one Red Hot Chili Peppers song? Bandwidth. Fireside.
Could it be ghost something like ghost frequencies or
that's kind of like what I was thinking of. I'm trying to think of what the Wilco there's Yankee Hotel Foxtrot. I don't know why we're getting stuck on this Wilco thing.
Hey, I think I was wrong about that. I think that the name Yankee Hotel Foxtrot is from one of those things. Like they use a clip of that where they just hear a bunch of weird words being said real mechanically. And I think that those words come from that. I think that's why I thought of that.
Do you think that that track is titled like what this is, what the answer is?
Maybe, I don't know. But it could just be a rabbit hole we don't need to go down.
It's called Heavy Metal Drummer.
I don't know. What could they be called? Station, or, well, it's shortwave radio, so it's usually like independent like people, not companies, right?
Yeah.
You said AM and MW channels?
Yeah.
MW, I've never even heard of MW before. I don't know what that is.
I mean, pirate radio?
I thought that too, but that's more like, you know, you don't have a license, I think.
Do you want me to, do you guys want me to read the question again?
Sure. Yeah, one more time if you don't mind.
All right. Tune across the shortwave radio bands, AM or MW, and chances are you will come across this. There's no programming to speak of. Just a mechanically sounding voice, male or female, or a series of voices going on for minutes at end. These are unidentified radio broadcasts, sometimes accompanied by music, tones, or other effects. What are these stations called?
Some shit that Art Bell used to jerk off to. It's aliens! Grays!
So it's the name of the station that we're looking for.
Well, there. I don't think there's one station.
It's like a type of thing that's played. Sometimes it's male and female voices. Sometimes it's a series of beeps and tones.
Yeah, yeah. The name of the thing. Dude, I have no idea. This is a great question.
I have a hint. Do you want me to...
Every time Patrick gets close to the Please. Microphone, I know something's coming.
Okay. all right. Hence, the common purpose of these stations is to broadcast coded messages to spies in distant countries.
Whoa.
That. Oh, Mike, that face you just made. Holy shit.
What was it? What did it look like?
What did it look like?
That's why I'm recording this whole thing. I knew there would be some good bits. I don't know, man. Coded. I mean, spy.
Spy tapes.
Spy kids.
Yeah, I have no idea. This is a great question, but I do not know the answer.
Yeah, we'll say. Spy FM.
AM.
Spy AM.
Close. So these are called number stations.
Oh,
that wasn't close at all.
Yeah, good job, Mark.
Number stations.
Yep.
Okay, so you would go across the dial and you would just stumble across a number station. I guess because sometimes the clips are just numbers.
Then apparently, you know, if it's like shortwave radio, you know, it can only go out so far, and yeah, it'll be you know, sound, someone talking, and then spies will use it for Morse code to, like, you know, just get out signals.
Interesting.
So guys, they did sample the phrase Yankee Hotel Foxtrot from a code over radio, so I think it was one of those stations.
Huh.
And
a Wilco connection.
A number station is a shortwave radio station characterized by broadcasts of formatted numbers which are believed to be addressed to intelligence officers operating in foreign countries. Most identified stations use speech synthesis to vocalize numbers, although digital modes such as phase shift keying and frequency shift keying, as well as Morse code transmissions, are not uncommon. Huh. That's really interesting.
Patrick, how did you hear about this?
So, years ago, when I was moving to Chicago, I was driving in a U-Haul up a mountain, and, you know, like, back then, if you wanted to listen to your iPod, you had to have, like, a little plug-in thing into the thing, and we're up in the mountains, and then suddenly, I just heard this station come out of nowhere, and it was these weird, like, beats, and then all of a sudden, a flute would play, and then somebody would say something, and I thought I was, like, having, like, an auditory hallucination. I was like, what is this? And then I just went online and looked it up, and you can listen to number stations online. They have a few really mysterious ones that have been operating for like 60, 70 years. A lot of ones still operate in Russia, and they have no idea, you know, why.
Can you send me a link to that that we can put in the show notes? Like,
yeah, for sure.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be cool to check out.
60s rock music is my next category. All right, gentlemen.
Come on, guys.
What singer found the Doors frontman, Jim the Lizard King Morrison, so obnoxious that they broke a bottle of Southern Comfort over his head on two separate occasions? What singer found the Doors frontman, Jim Morrison, so obnoxious that they broke a bottle of Southern Comfort over his head on two separate occasions?
Now, you say what singer, and then they broke a bottle over his head.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, because you're not saying male or female. Gotcha. Mm-hmm.
Was this already after Jim Morrison was famous, I'm assuming?
Yes.
Okay.
Was it before or after Jim Morrison died?
That's a good question, Mike.
Before.
Fair question. Hey, good question.
And these did not kill him, these attacks. They were not enough to bring him down.
Was a... I mean, I don't really know much about Creed. Credence was later, right?
I thought you were going to say Creed. Creedence Clearwater Revival, I think, was definitely partially in the 70s. I don't think they were around very long.
Well, yeah, they weren't. Okay.
They played Woodstock.
Like Leonard Skinner?
Yeah, I keep thinking of those bands. Janis Joplin.
Janis Joplin is who I was thinking. Yeah. He used a, I know that it could go either way, but I think the fact that he used a genderless pronoun, and I think that a woman could get away with doing it. You know what I mean? Like, he may like fight a guy, but a woman, he'd be like, and I think that breaking a fucking bottle like that over someone's head, you gotta really fucking wail it. And Janis Joplin had some spunk.
I mean, she died though.
She died
70
in the 70s.
I don't know. I don't know much about Jim Morrison or like who he may have personally like pissed off. Seems
Yeah, I was hoping for some information about like the singer other than they broke a bottle over his head.
I just want to modify this question just slightly. Mm. I'm not sure the bottle was broken. I should have just said hit in the head. Mm. Just based on the reporting, that was just some colorful language they wrote this in for no reason. So sorry about that. But they did reportedly hit him in the head twice with a Southern Comfort bottle.
Can you tell us like what year?
Well, one of these stories did not have a year associated with it, unfortunately. But
okay.
It is 60s rock music, the category.
Yeah, 60s rock music.
Oh. I think your guess is good, Mark. I think Janis is a good guess.
Well, I think Patrick said it first.
Maybe Iron Butterfly?
I don't know who the singer of Iron Butterfly is. I mean, it could be someone who is a lot more conservative. It could be like Joni Mitchell. I'm trying to think of like people that would...
I'm trying to think of like bands who were in like their immediate orbit in the 60s, like being around that time. Like, who was, like, Jefferson Starship was big at the around there?
Grace Slick? No? Could be Grace Slick.
Yeah. There's just so many options.
She drank, drank a lot. Grace Slick drank a lot.
Yeah, I mean, maybe that.
Mike, what are you thinking? Grace, I mean, do we think that this might be more likely a woman than a man?
I don't know. I guess I get what you're saying about the gender neutral way it was phrased. So maybe.
I also just think that, like, if it was a guy who did it, they would have gotten the shit beat out of him.
Maybe, yeah.
But I mean, maybe they did.
I think they're both good.
I think you're both good.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I don't know, Patrick.
I would say Grace or Janice. I mean, I don't know. That seems to what we've just kind of narrowed it down on.
Yeah, it's
probably, probably a guy that smashed the ball over the head, but I don't know.
It could be David Crosby from Crosby, Stills, Nash. I think he was kind of a or Stephen Stills. Like, they were all assholes. Graham Nash.
I know. Yeah, I don't know. I
could see them hating him because he was all, like, into poetry and stuff and, like, acting very, like, haughty. And they were just like, fuck you.
Yeah. I know Gene Vincent met him, and Gene Vincent didn't care much for him at all. And Gene Vincent drank all the time. He was a maniac. I could see him doing something like that, but
who the fuck is Gene Vincent?
Oh, he was big in the '50s. He did Bebopalula, Race with the Devil, okay. Bunch of like '50s rock and roll, rockabilly stuff.
I mean, are you gonna make a decision here?
I am. Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
We'll go with Janis Joplin.
That's correct.
Yay!
Very good. Yes.
Yes.
So in one version of the story detailed in the Morrison biography, Break On Through, involves record producer Paul Rothchild arranging for a meeting between who he called the king and queen of rock and roll, which apparently started off very well, with Joplin indicating that she wanted that big hunk of man meet Jim Morrison, but went sour when she became bored with his drunken behavior and ultimately rejected his advances. Morrison followed her out to the car, and she told him bluntly to fuck off. At this point, Morrison reached in and grabbed her by the hair, and so she swung the bottle outside of the window of the car and knocked him out cold. And the second version of this story involves a jam night at the Scene in New York City. Jimi Hendrix was jamming with members of the McCoys when Morrison joined in. I think there's a recording of this. I'm going to try and track that down because I watched it when I was researching this, so the YouTube video had been taken down, but I'll see if I can find the recording. So Jim Morrison goes on stage and starts going, oh, you know, doing his like wailing thing, not really saying anything, to which Jimmy responds, "Ladies and gentlemen, you've heard the sounds of Jim Morrison." And apparently Joplin wasn't like on the side of the stage, and she just like hated scene stealing in general. And Morrison at this point had like gotten down and like simulated fellatio on Jimi Hendrix and was like, "Let me suck your cock," to Jimi Hendrix on stage. So Joplin went on stage with this bottle and hit him over the head with it.
What a
and
fucking three of them awesome
apparently got into
person.
A big wrestling match.
That's amazing.
On stage. It said that Morrison loved all this physical confrontation and violence from Joplin, but unfortunately for him, it was not meant to be. By all reports, Janis Joplin truly hated him. They never reconciled before their deaths.
You know, not many people are allowed to bring that energy, but Janis Joplin is. Mm-hmm. And I do like the Doors, but fuck, man, he was really annoying.
Same. Yeah. As a kid, you're not privy to all the like details, I think, when you're like listening to the music and stuff like that. You're like, this is kind of cool. But, you know, I mean, definitely a guy that would not have survived the Me Too era.
No.
You know?
No, he's been canceled many moons ago, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. Here's your last question of the second round. What water animal has the biggest penis size compared to its body?
That would be the Tanner.
I didn't mean for these questions to both be in the second round, but here we are.
The biggest penis size compared to its body, and yes. What marine mammal? Did you say mammal?
Water animal.
Water animal.
Are you saying that the penis it possesses is bigger than its body, or like what's the relationship between
the biggest penis
relative to other size animals,
compared to its own body? Yeah, yes. So it has a penis that is 10 times the size of its body.
It's got to be like a. Isn't there a whale with a gigantic?
Me in the water is not correct.
I think I might know this, guys.
What are you thinking?
Is it a duck? They have those crazy.
Oh yeah,
like corkscrew penises.
Yeah, they unfurl them and it goes. Yeah.
What are they? 10 times the size.
6 feet of bubble gum for you, not them.
Well, that's.
Like bubble tape.
New thought, yeah. Just like 6 feet of
corkscrew dick. For you, not them.
Something crazy like a clam or like a scallop or something?
Do scallops have...
Oh, the gooey duck. Have you guys seen the gooey duck?
Yeah.
Well, the it dick that like big, it's bound to get gooey. If you know what I'm saying. Semen?
Yep. That's what you said.
What do you think the rating on this podcast is going to be?
Oh, F... F minus. Oh, are you talking about like NC-17? Oh, that.
Yeah, this feels like a little trashier than some of the ones I listen to.
Well, you know, we put it out with an explicit tag, but we do know that some people listen with their kids for some reason. I don't get it, but you know.
I don't know the answer to this.
No, I mean, I think you're right about ducks, but I can't imagine it's like 10 times the size of their body.
Yeah, that's
be the evolutionary purpose of that.
Mark, are we talking length or, well, the evolutionary purpose is that it has to figure out all the ways into the convoluted vaginal canal of the female duck. That's the reason is there's like, they rape, the ducks rape.
Yeah.
So they've evolved, the female ducks have evolved to stop the rape.
Right.
As a Republican would say, their body has a way of shutting it down.
Oh boy.
Maybe we should go with ducks.
Yeah,
but the gooey duck, which is not a like mallard duck, but like a some kind of like sea cucumber type creature. Have you seen those things?
I don't believe so.
They're just like these long tubular oysters.
Huh.
That when you said oyster, that's what kicked that off to me, because they have like this like little tiny shell at the one side, and then there's just this giant phallus like thing coming out. And I wonder if it is a phallus.
I think ducks is, yeah.
Okay. Standard duck, not the gooey duck.
Yeah, I think so.
All right. Mark?
I'm sorry, that's incorrect.
Wrong.
You guys started kind of getting down the right alley. I think Mike started guessing a couple of things that came close. The correct answer is the barnacle.
Hmm.
The barnacle has a penis size that is up from upwards to 8 to 10 times their body length. It is so big that sometimes they can impede their feeding. They have such what penis, such long penises so that they can copulate during heavy waters, where it's, you know, really rocky. So they can really get it in there and really hold it in. And, the gooey barnacle can make sure that it makes some baby barnacles. A lot of barnacles are hermaphroditic also. They say they have the largest penises, penis to body size ratio of the animal kingdom.
Well, they can't really move around either, so I guess they got to stretch, really. You know, they're like trying to reach.
There you go. They're like Ron Jeremy.
All right. Is that the end of our second round?
It is.
I think so. Okay, so we're going to take another little break, and then we're going to rate some questions, and then we'll have our final question of the quiz. Stick around. Okay, we're back, and it's time for some Rate My Questions. First up, we have a message here from Alex. It says, hi, Lee and Mark. It's Proverbial Lightkeeper Alex. I'm finally caught up with the podcast, so I thought I'd give it another shot at some trivia questions. So we have two here from Alex. The first one is, the Enola Gay is the name of the first aircraft to do what? I think I know the answer to this.
I think I do also.
Drop a bomb on Japan, right? A nuclear bomb?
Well, if it's the first one to do what, it would probably be, first plane to drop a nuclear bomb. Patrick?
Are we all in agreement there?
Yeah, because I thought the Enola Gay dropped off like picnic baskets to like a bunch of people, but I'm confusing that with something else. So, no, yeah.
It did that also. It did that before. It dropped off the picnic baskets and then it dropped a bomb on them.
Oh, okay. Like the Gap Band.
But there was another plane that dropped off picnic baskets. Yes.
Okay.
We're correct. That's right. Enola Gay was the first aircraft to drop an atomic bomb.
Yes.
Okay. So that one, I give that 2.5, right in the middle. It's, you know, a historical question, but it's also pretty easy, I would say.
I'd give it a B plus, yes.
It's just, I feel like it's very common knowledge. So if you're going for like maybe an earlier in the quiz type question that you want a lot of people to get, because, you know, theoretically you got four or five people on the team, just like we have, you know, yeah.
Yeah.
And then the second question from Alex is, the Spirit of Ecstasy is the name of the hood ornament placed on the front of every car of what car company? The Spirit of Ecstasy.
This is a good one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This is a harder one.
Mm-hmm.
So like even cars to this day still have this ornament? Or is this something that was only done?
It says placed on the front of every car of what car company. So that, to me, that implies, it's happening.
So I'm trying to think of, so there's BMW.
Uh-huh.
Well, BMWs don't really have hood ornaments, but Mercedes-Benz do.
But do you think it's a physical, like a, you know, like a, actually looks like a human body? Like, is that what you're picturing? Or do you think it's just like a symbol that...
I'm thinking a barnacle with a big old floppy dong.
Oh, just a 10 times the size of it. Just giant old dick.
Barnacle Motorworks, BMW, right?
Mm. So...
The Spirit of Ecstasy. I have never heard that from any old cars, though. Like, if you think of like a Cutlass or,
Let me drop this idea on you. Cadillac.
No, yeah, like they have like a bunch of, you know, ornaments, but like I've never heard of the Spirit of. I almost wonder if it couldn't be like a newer thing where it's like, oh, if you get a Tesla.
Least laugh like that again. Smile like that again. Patrick, does he not look like Serge Tankian?
Well, from far away, like
he does the eye thing. Look at that. Look how Serge Tankian.
Yeah.
So, Mike, I didn't ask your opinion. I just asked Patrick's.
Jesus Christ.
Mike, what is your opinion?
Patrick, you're not allowed to do that. Well, I think of like the Cadillac. Very famous hood ornament, and it's kind of like a piece of art. It kind of looks like there's a lot of stuff going on, and I could see it having a name like that.
Okay.
The only other thing I'm thinking of is there is another car. It might be the Rolls Royce that has like a body that's kind of like doing a thing.
That's what I'm picturing, with like the arms back.
Mm.
Yeah, because I mean, I think one thing we're missing is like just looking at American cars, like, you know, because British type cars, they're a lot more, they have a lot more ornaments, you know?
Well, I did mention BMW and I did mention Mercedes-Benz, and those are both German, but okay.
Would you say that the Rolls Royce one is in an ecstatic pose?
I don't know. I mean, there's like so many different models of older stuff. So,
well, it's not a Jaguar.
I don't think that could be ecstasy.
I guess somebody could be.
A pose of ecstasy, a svelte Jaguar.
I'll try anything once.
What if it's something that you wouldn't expect, like the Volkswagen logo? You call it the spirit of ecstasy.
I mean, it could
VW.
It could very well be the Mercedes-Benz logo. I mean, who knows? But because I mean, you know, I think of it as just like naming like a piece of art. You know what I mean? Yeah. Just be like this circle with this, you know, thing. It's called the spirit of ecstasy.
I don't know. I don't know, honestly.
Well, none of us know, Patrick. That's why we're guessing.
I think I like Rolls Royce best out of everything we've seen.
Yeah, let's go with Rolls Royce.
Yes, Rolls Royce. Let's do it.
Alex, nice enough to provide us with a link here.
Thank you, Alex.
The Spirit of Ecstasy is the bonnet ornament sculpture on Rolls-Royce cars.
Yes.
Wow. Two for two there.
Look at us go. A lot
of pen chewing. This is a good question.
Yeah. Love it.
Yeah, I don't know. Uh-oh. Maybe another hint would be nice. Just something Hell to work no. off of. I'll give it 4 stars.
I'm going to give it a solid A, maybe even an A+. I feel like it's just easy enough that if you know what a Rolls-Royce hood ornament looks like, it pretty much feeds right into itself. You have to have a little bit of knowledge, but not too much. I like it a lot. I'd give it like just below an A+.
There is also, I just saw here, small hint. It is a British car company. So you could work that hint in,
ooh,
I think. And
Patrick likes that.
If you wanted to make it a tad easier, just a tad. Not saying you have to.
I don't want to.
But if you wanted to, yeah.
I wanted it to be a toughie.
Mm-hmm.
Good questions.
All right. Alex says, hopefully you guys like the trivia questions and keep up the good work. Now to listen to the Patreon bonus content. Yes, Alex. And don't forget, if you're all caught up, and you want more no-no, you can go onto our Patreon, and there are several bonus episodes, bonus quizzes, audio quizzes, deleted scenes from the podcast, all sorts of good stuff for you to listen to. And then we have one last one here from Patty. You might remember Patty is writing back to us about the Friday the 13th question.
Mm.
And we did misgender Patty. Patty is a he. Patty writes, "Hey guys, it's Patty. Again, I finally caught up to the episode where you answered my rate my question. I would absolutely accept Mrs. Voorhees as an answer because as far as I remember, the first movie never gives her first name.
Mm.
I've got another question for you as well. HAL Laboratory, H-A-L, HAL Laboratory, a Japanese video game company responsible for the Kirby franchise, has its name inspired by what international business corporation?" We're back to international trade.
Mm.
HAL Laboratory has its name inspired by what international business corporation?
I think I might know this.
Really? I have no idea.
I'm going to drop a little knowledge on you. You guys have
quiz daddy.
Has everyone here seen a little motion picture called 2001 Space Odyssey?
With you. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. With you, yes.
Yeah.
Perfect. So you'll remember the HAL computer on board.
Mm-hmm.
Did you know?
HAL 9000?
Yes. Did you know how that name came to be?
No. I'm sorry, Mark.
What is What is the letter after H?
I.
What is the letter after A?
B.
What is the letter after L?
After what?
L.
M. IBM. So they just moved it. Some number station shit.
I am pretty sure that that's how they got the name, is they just took IBM and just moved each letter one and had HAL.
Okay. So you're saying IBM is the answer here.
I think so.
And they, maybe HAL Laboratory saw this in 2001 and was like, ah, that's brilliant. Let's do the same thing.
I think that very well could be. That is my guess.
Okay. All right.
Does anybody have a better guess?
No, that's great. And I think they said international. Isn't that part of IBM? So it'd be like a little hint. Yep.
All right. Patrick, do you now speak now or forever hold your peace, buddy?
No, man, this is good stuff.
He loves it. He's getting so juiced up right now.
Ubisoft was named after ubiquity because you wanted to be everywhere in the world. And HAL was named as such because each letter put us one step ahead of IBM.
There you are.
Very good.
Good job, Mark.
Thank you. That's Mr. Riddle in Mariner High School, whose favorite movie was 2001 A Space Odyssey, and taught me that.
You had a teacher named Mr. Riddle?
I did. Yeah.
And you're a quiz master today?
And he played guitar. He covered Black Magic Woman at the talent show. He also was pumping up a wheelbarrow tire, and it blew up and fucked his hand up, and he couldn't play guitar anymore. And then I guess he went through some therapy or whatever and was able to play again. And I learned that in science fiction class, which was actually called American Literature at Mariner High School, represent Tritons.
But if you knew, you knew.
Oh, yeah. If you knew, you knew. And it was loaded with, you know, friends of Mike Cosden and I. Mike, you never took that class, did you?
No, I don't know why. It was a bad choice.
I think that might have been after you went to ALC. But yeah, it was me and a bunch of punk rock people, Jeanette Gregor and Mike McNair and Sean Rohrer and a bunch of other people. And we watched a bunch of science fiction movies and read The Illustrated Man and a bunch of other stuff. And it was really, really awesome. And I learned loads about 2001. Made it one of my favorite movies.
And it paid off here today.
And it paid off in dividends right fucking here.
Yeah, I like this question. I'm giving this one 4 stars as well.
I will give it, I'll give it A plus.
Nice. Any commentary, gentlemen?
It was a good question, and it inspired Mark to kind of reminisce.
Nostalgic, in a way.
Patrick wants to go home.
We're taking it home in just a moment. But first, if you'd like to write us with a Rate My Question or a missed correction, if you hear anything that we're just, you know, spitballing about that is not accurate, that is obviously not a joke, you know, you can write to us at nononsensetrivia@gmail.com or give us a call 1-929-356-6966.
Patrick Norris, why don't you take us home, buddy? Give us your third question.
All right. So do you guys want the easy version of this question or do you want like the hard
last version questions of this? Tend to be hard.
Yeah, give us the difficult one.
Give it to us hard.
Okay. All right. So this work is regarded by art historians and theorists of the avant-garde as a major landmark in 20th century art. This ready-made art sculpture debuted in April 1917, consisting of a porcelain urinal. Who is the artist?
I was going to say, I think we've had this question before, but not who the artist is.
But I did mention the artist when I asked the question, I believe. Yes, Lee.
It is Duchamp.
Marcel, right? Duchamp, Mike?
I think that's right.
Yes. Dadaist. Marcel Duchamp.
Actually, no. I'm sorry, guys. Marcel had a brother named Winston Duchamp.
Fuck you.
Yeah, is this true? I'm lying. No, oh, not okay. At all. No.
No.
It's like, what?
Yeah, no.
It's happening in my mind. Am I listening to a station or a number station?
I started having a freak out. Like, was it Hans Arp? Like, did I, like, just, like, quickly, like, jump to, like, I was like, was it Tristan Zara? Like, was it somebody? I think it was Marcel Duchamp. And, like, when you said it, maybe I just, like, agreed too quick. And then he's like, it was his brother Winston. I was like, okay, fuck off.
Yeah, Winston.
Mark's, nice fake name. Mark's eyes lit up, like, just like a kid on Christmas. It's, yeah, like, halfway through the question, I was like, oh, no, oh, no.
Well, yeah. Our mutual friend Mike Mitchell was a huge fan of Dada and got me really, really into it. And I actually asked that question, or something relatively like it, on the podcast. Not that exact question.
I think you asked what it was. The maybe, fountain. You asked, right, like, what is the fountain? the fountain was made out of what object.
Yeah. Great question.
All right, Mike.
All right, guys. What U.S. city claimed to cure chronic homelessness in 2015, claiming that they reduced it by more than 90% through a Housing First program? So cure should be in air quotes.
Mike.
Claimed that they reduced homelessness by more than 90%.
Mike.
I was afraid you might know this.
Yeah. I'll abstain for a little bit and let them...
I've got a harder one, too, if it's too easy for everybody.
Wow. This is... Our team member is abandoning us, Pat. Mark is just checking out. He knows it, and he's not going to give it to us.
Mike and I have both... Yeah, Mike and I have both been listening to the same podcast. And both came across the same episode, apparently.
Well, I mean, for some reason, anytime I hear about something like that, I just think of, like, Portland automatically. But that's just because they decriminalized a bunch of stuff.
Right.
Mike went dry here. He didn't give you any kind of information about what any other way to get to the city other than that.
And I should tell you, Abby actually wrote this question. My wife, Abby.
Right when I'm talking about how dry it is, he's like, actually, I should say that my wife
She told me we should add something to it. She's like, you should add what part of the country the city is in. And I was like, no, they won't need it.
Oh, yeah. No, they will.
Well, here we are.
Well, Mark, what part of the city, of the country would you say that city is in?
I would say it's, I think it's Mountain Time Zone.
Yeah, that's good enough.
Left west.
Okay. I have an idea now. Denver.
What's your idea?
No. Denver, Colorado. They seem like they would brag about beating hopelessness, but not actually beating it. I don't know. Nothing against Denver. But it's, you know, a little bit, you know, it's a little bit up there. They're getting different quantities of oxygen. They're feeling a little good, you know? Oh, yeah, we beat it.
Cured it.
We cured it.
Yeah, I agree with Lee. I think that's a good solid.
Now let's ask our other teammate that just refused to participate. Mark, how are we sounding about Denver?
I think you're wrong.
Okay.
I believe you want to think about
a Quizmasterception here. Quizmaster within a Quizmaster.
All right. It's Salt Lake City.
Oh.
Is that true?
That's right.
All right.
They are crazy out there. Yeah.
Salt Lake City.
Always get the
podcast that did a show about this was You're Wrong About. Is that where you heard it, Mark?
It is where I heard it, yes.
It's an awesome podcast, and they go all into like how they redefined what homelessness was so they could get to this number, but then they couldn't keep the number there once they had built housing units for people. But you learn so much about homelessness.
And bureaucracy, it sounds like.
Yes.
Yes, it is a very, very fascinating podcast. Unfortunately, Sarah Marshall, the female, has one of the female host has one of the worst laughs on the face of the planet. And Michael Hobbs, the male host, always goes, yeah, 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 while she's talking. And he sounds like Butthead. But the information on it is great. Like, she'll be talking to be like, yeah, 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 yeah. And it's like, please stop it. But other than that, it's great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mark, your last question.
Oh, okay. You're making me go.
It's your turn.
Well, you know, I just can't keep up with these things. Here's your last question. Poetry, Patrick Norris. This one's for you, baby.
Here comes the pressure.
Walt Whitman wrote the poem This Dust Was Once a Man about what president?
Abraham Lincoln.
You sound pretty confident there.
Seems like a good guess.
Yeah. I mean, I have no idea. So,
No. Oh, God. No, wait. Oh, hold on. So he wrote this big poem, and then it's either Abraham Lincoln or who were the presidents alive during Walt Whitman's time? Leaves of Grass was like.
I will tell you this poem was written in 1871.
Yeah, I was going to say it's in the late 1800s, and it would have been the president where they marched his casket like all throughout the U.S. So Walt Whitman wrote a poem for him, but I don't know if it's...
Who else would it be besides Lincoln? Unless it was someone that, you know, had been a former president, and they just died in 1871.
Yeah.
McKinley
hadn't been... McKinley was later, right? Wasn't it McKinley closer to 1900?
Yeah.
Lincoln was around the 1870s, yep. right?
Let's go with
that. No. Lincoln died in 1860. Man, it feels like something we should all know.
I do know now that he was the 16th president. I finally have cemented that in my brain.
Thank God you did. I'm no
longer thinking of him as the 13th president.
Because I can still not remember. Yeah, I'm still something teen.
I think that's a great guess.
Yeah, because even if he died a couple years before, I mean, Whitman's working on this poem. He's going to take his time years. With it, you know? No rush.
And I think, the casket tour would have been a big, long thing. Like, taking more than a year, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like the casket tour was, a lot more than, harder working than Jackal.
the hardest working tour.
The hardest working casket tour.
In presidential history.
The most live casket shows in a 24-hour span.
Yeah, and back then, it's 19 states, 55,000 months.
Propping up this president.
Man, the t-shirt was $35, but shit, man, after that show, fuck, I was buying that shit.
Gotta support him.
I mean, I could be wrong. I don't want to lead you guys down, but I want to say, in my tiny mind from years ago, I think that's what I can accurately recollect.
I like it.
I said, let's go for it.
Lincoln.
Lincoln is correct.
Yeah!
This nice. Dust was once the man, gentle, plain, just, and resolute, under whose cautious hand, against the foulest crime in history known in any land or age, was saved the union of these states. That is, This Dust Was Once a Man. A pretty short poem, but all about Abraham Lincoln.
Ain't gotta be long if it's good.
Patrick, good job, buddy.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks, man.
I didn't know that you would know that like that. Mike is giving you a golf clap and everything.
Feels good.
All right, it's time for our last question of the episode. State mottos is my category. Which U.S. state motto is friendship? Inspired by the state name, which itself means friends or allies, in the Caddo Indian language.
Jesus.
Which U.S. state motto is friendship? Inspired by the state name, which itself means friends or allies, in the Caddo Indian language.
Mark looks like he's got this.
No, he doesn't.
Oh, my bad.
Well, my first, I don't know why, but my first, my first guess was Hawaii, but I don't know that they would have an Indian name. So let's go ahead and consider a couple of states that it can't be. Like Florida,
yeah,
Georgia, Texas, Georgia,
Virginia.
Named after an Indian, I would say it's probably not North or South Dakota, because there's two of them. That would be kind of unfair.
Where were, I mean, am I making this up, but I think it's spelled H-O-P-I, right? Like the Hopi Indian?
Yeah.
Didn't that mean friendship or something? Or am I completely just making that up?
Well,
that'd be like Southwest.
But the state name is based off of friendship.
Right.
And a lot of those there's no state called Hopi.
A lot of Southwestern states are Spanish names.
I mean, if it's not Kansas, it can't be Arkansas. I don't think, I kind of think that those two are kind of canceled out.
Right.
Wyoming, friendship.
So hard, yeah. Yeah, I mean, it could even be a New England state. I mean,
could be. Connecticut? Connecticut?
Yeah, that could be. I feel kind of good about that.
Friendship? Connect? Maine? I don't know. But I don't think Maine's... the thing is all these states have a million fucking...
I know.
You know? It's not going to be New Hampshire. It's not going to be New York.
Right.
Not going to be New Jersey. Not going to be Rhode Island.
Where's Massachusetts? I think that's an indigenous word.
Massachusetts could be it.
But I don't think their state motto is friendship.
I don't think so either.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is everyone okay?
I just had I had a can of bean beans
before we like an airplane recorded. Took off inside your apartment.
Yeah, it's just the yeah.
It's just that it's city just a life, busy baby. Street.
It's that city life. There goes the neighborhood.
We got our natural cut fries. Let's go.
Oh, that was good. Idaho. I want to be friends with anybody that's a hoe.
I know it's not Arizona because I think their state motto is God and riches. So that's not it.
Friendship.
What about Idaho? I mean, that's not a bad guess.
Like the opposite of friendship.
Iowa.
Could be. I'm trying to think a lot of like Montana.
Like I think Montana is a Spanish word.
Okay.
Ohio.
Could be. Friendship. I don't think it's Pennsylvania.
No.
Indiana.
I don't know if this is susceptible.
Yeah, it's not.
Are you used to having all this encouragement on the podcast, Mark?
Yeah, this is very helpful. Like,
it's not possible. Don't try.
Just give up. Friendship. I think the reason that I thought Hawaii is because they have... this is so stupid. Because they have
a rainbow. Committee.
And when I think of the rainbow, I think of in Mortal Kombat where you would do friendships and a little rainbow would come out.
That is where that comes from.
Perfect.
I hate you. This is useless.
I'm so glad you're back in my life. Live, bring you live from Zoom.
I think I like Connecticut, Idaho. I don't know. I think something's telling me Connecticut. I don't know why, though.
I like Connecticut, too.
We're going to go with Connecticut.
No, I'm sorry. That's incorrect. It is the state that was once its own country, Texas. Texas
is
the answer.
Are you kidding me?
Mm-hmm. In 1836, the Anglo-Americans declared independence from Mexico and established the Republic of Texas, an independent nation. And it, Texas comes from the Hasanai word Taisha. The Hasanai are one of the tribes that are in the Caddo Confederacy, Indian Confederacy. And the motto itself was adopted in 1930, so almost 100 years later. But yeah, Texas is a
Tejas.
Originally meant friends or allies in its native language.
Well, I'll be damned.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, parting is such sweet sorrow.
Indeed. Especially after such a fun time with Patrick and Mike. Thanks for joining us, gentlemen.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks for having me. This was a lot of fun.
Yeah, I'm really glad that we were able to do this. Thank you, guys.
That concludes this episode of the No Nonsense Trivia Podcast. Thanks for listening, everyone. Please join us every Monday morning for a new episode by subscribing to the No Nonsense Trivia Podcast on your favorite podcast platform. You can support the No-No in several ways, the easiest by sharing this episode on your social media accounts with your friends. You could also leave us a written review on your favorite podcast platform, which we love. We love reading the reviews. And you can support the podcast on Patreon by visiting our website, thenono.com, and clicking the support link at the top, which will take you to our Patreon page.
Thank you to our Patreon supporters for helping us out with the show, including our quiz daddies Dylan, Tommy, and Tim, our team captains Sean, Lydia, Gil,
It's Gil,
Kristen, Fletcher, Rachel, Aaron, and David Holbrook. David Holbrook, David Holbrook. Thanks to our proverbial lightkeepers, Nicole, Alex, Jenny, Christopher, Logan, Spencer, Caitlin, Manu, Mo, Nina, Michael, Matthew, Luke, Marissa, Justin, Hank, Nicole, Cooper, Carly, Chris, Elise, Josh, and Lucas. And thanks to our Rumpelstiltskins, Kevin, Sarah, Tiffany, Allison, Paige, Kenya, Jeff, Efren, Steven, Michael C.
What up, what up? What?
There he is.
Michael S.
Mike Salt Lake City.
And Michael J.
Mikey JavaScript.
Ah.
If you'd like to write us with a rate my question or miscorrection, you can do so at nononsensetrivia@gmail.com or call us at 1-929-356-6966. And please follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube at No Nonsense Trivia, and on Twitter at No Nonsense Trivia, and on Discord. You can find a link to that in the show notes.
And we have a Facebook group you can join as well. Just go on our Facebook and go on your own damn Facebook and search for the No Nonsense Trivia Podcast to join us there. And finally, don't forget to leave us a rating on your favorite podcast service.
Five stars only, please. Until next time, no nonsense listeners.
Have a great week.